Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Tata Chemicals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good day, and thank you for joining us on Tata Chemicals Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. R. Mukundan, the Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Zarir Langrana, the Executive Director, and Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now invite Mr. Mukundan to begin proceedings this call.
Thank you, Gavin. Good day and welcome everyone to our quarterly earnings call. I'm joined by my colleagues, Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, CFO, and Mr. Zarir Langrana, our Executive Director. I will start the discussion with few key highlights, following which I'll request Nandu to walk you through financial performance. During the quarter, the operations were steady. The U.S., which had some elongated shutdown last quarter, is returned back to the normal production run rate. Revenue and profitability were robust, with better realizations compared to Q3 of last year. Overall, demand for soda ash continues to be resilient, and we believe the market to be balanced with a bias towards increasing demand, especially with the reopening of China and newer glass applications. A point to be added here, the Chinese inventory is at an all-time low of 2.8 lakh tons, unusually low figure. Hopefully, this will catch up and normalize, but that's the current state of one specific geography. Rest of the geographies are more or less balanced, with India having some winter-type slowdown, which is going to pick up fully in terms of overall demand. So I think we are going to be witnessing further tightening as we move forward. Costs are under control, in the sense that the prices of most of the input energy materials are very stable. They are not increasing anymore, and some of them are beginning to tend down a little bit. There are a few non-operational one-off items during the quarter, which is by which the PAT was impacted, even though EBITDA has been more or less at the same level as last quarter, which is why we wanted to call out what is called as normalized EBITDA, and Nandu will share the specifics of this, and these will flow through from our joint ventures. Our expansion projects are on schedule. More than that, I think our contracts for 2023 have been finalized right up to December 2023, and the flavor of those contracts and the contracting arrangements you will get at the end of the Q4 results. While I will not be making any statement except to say all our capacities are more or less booked, and we are fully able to service our customers. I now hand over the floor to Mr. Nandakumar, who will take you through our financial performance.
Thank you, Mukundan, and good morning, everyone. If you look at the numbers for the quarter, we had a good quarter. The revenues for the quarter was at 4,148 crores, a 32% growth over last year's Q3. The growth was broad-based, with all the businesses and geographies performing well. EBITDA grew by 69% and standing at 922 crores for the quarter. EBITDA margins were at 32%, which was 17% in the same quarter last year. Moving on to individual businesses, starting with India. Revenues for the quarter was at 1,218 crores, higher by 31% compared to last year's Q3. Growth was supported by higher realization as compared to last year's Q3. The PAT for the current quarter was lower than last quarter's PAT on two factors. One was in terms of in Q2 in India, we had all dividends coming from investments which came in Q2, didn't come in Q3. We also had a one-off kind of a tax refunds coming in Q2, not coming in Q3. These two factors led to the quarter-on-quarter PAT coming down, while EBITDA is almost on par with last time's last quarter. U.S. maintained its momentum with revenue and volume growth of 48% and 4% respectively for the quarter. Q3 witnessed volume growth over Q2 as well. We had some shutdowns in Q2 in US for some days. We made up for that in Q3 with higher volumes compared to Q2. The EBITDA margins was at around 25% as compared to 15% in last year's Q3 due to better operational efficiencies. We also prepaid $65 million of loan in the last 9 months' time. Coming to UK, we've been able to perform well with revenues improving by 34%. While the uncertainty with regards to energy prices remain, we are undertaking steps towards rationalizing our costs and improving the overall efficiencies. As far as Kenya is concerned, business did well and had another quarter of good performance, with both revenue and profits having good growth over previous year. And I also have to say, for the first time, Kenya is debt-free. We prepaid all debts in the last 9 months' time. Regarding Nutra and Sirica operations were at optimal level, and we are working towards increasing the capacity to better meet growing customer demand with better engagement. Additionally, for Nutra, our efforts are focused on acquiring customer approvals and increasing utilization at the existing unit. As far as Rallis is concerned, the Q3 was largely impacted due to the seasonality of the business. Management is continuing its efforts on improving the product mix and cost efficiencies and widening its distribution reach. As Mukundan mentioned, there were a few one-offs in the quarter. I'll just talk about that. In Q3, we had, as I explained earlier, India had the dividend income and the tax refunds in Q2, not coming in Q3. Apart from that, in Q3, there was a particular JV loss in the quarter. We have 2-3 JVs. One is in Morocco, one is Tata Industries. So overall, for the quarter, in the case of Morocco, the prices have come down on the selling price compared to last year's Q3. Last year had a very good pricing of phosphoric acid. So quarter on quarter or quarter over last year's Q3, the prices were lower, leading to a loss in Morocco in Q3. We also had a one-off kind of a sale of one of the Tata Industries unit during Q3, and that was booked in Q3. We don't expect this to continue in future in terms of the industries being a one-off case in Q3. So that again, return to the normal numbers going forward, we expect that. On a console basis, we had 2119 crores of cash at the end of December, majority in India and US and Kenya. The net debt was at 4357 crores. During the year, the gross debt was lower due to debts being prepaid, and around 15% of our debts have been prepaid during the current year. Our console capex was rupees 445 crores for the quarter and 1200 crores for the 9 month ended. With that, I'll close my comments and hand you back to the moderator to open up for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any further questions, you may join the queue back. The first question is from the line of Sumit Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. My question regarding Soda Ash India. We have seen a volume of 156,000 metric ton, and the similar kind of volume was in Q2. And the Q2 has a production loss because of plant shutdown. So what was the key reason we are not showing the momentum what we have shown in FY21, even FY22 of a range of 170 to 178 or 80 million thousand metric ton?
I think India volumes largely, I think if you really look at it, there's no issue in terms of demand in the market, nor is there an issue of, as I mentioned, there has been some bit of issues with respect to takeaway to markets and some pockets where there has been a bit of a slow pickup in the marketplace and additional imports which have come in during this quarter. But as such, if you look at the overall, leave the quarter-on-quarter shade aside, because we can pick whether it's 10,000 more or 20,000 less. If you leave the quarter-on-quarter and look at the overall number, right, globally the inventory levels are low because the biggest producer, their inventory levels are low in China. But we expect this one-off imports which had come in and also one of softness in some of the markets, especially with respect to the dyes and pigments market, export market, which has been soft, to sort of correct itself through demand from other segments, especially glass and detergents going forward. So I would just place it on these two elements.
Okay. So my second question is, when we are talking about recession in the developed countries, US, Europe, and if the demand is going to decline from here, and we are talking about favorable demand supply scenario, in that case, whatever scenario currently we have, do you think with the recession, the whatever consumption we have of 60 million ton, there might be some decline, and then there will be a pressure on the margin side in the soda ash. Whatever golden period we are seeing, there might be some pressure on that side.
Actually, we are seeing the reverse. We are seeing reopening of China. I think we are going to be short of material. There is no recession, at least signs of recession in US. The demand is continuing to be strong. Even market like UK, which has seen very high gas prices, we are fully booked, and our customers have actually contracted fully with us. Kenya is fully sold out, so I don't think we are seeing any signs, because Kenya exports mostly to India and ASEAN. So we have actually good amount of understanding of what's happening in markets. So really, the current situation you are seeing is with China not fully coming back fully on stream. In fact, if China does come fully on stream, which we expect will happen, I think the situation is going to be much, there's going to be much more demand. On top of that, I think India is going to have at least three additional lines, and China is going to launch about 4 to 5 solar glass lines in the intervening period. And so I would say while there is a talk of recession, we are not seeing recession signs in our demand pattern. And we are prepared for any sort of eventuality. The only thing we can control is our cost. So we are extremely agile and extremely cost focused. But all I can say is that we do in any case. But in terms of market side, we have not seen any signs.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. Just a couple. One is on the India EBITDA numbers, for the standalone India operations. We are still significantly lower than the high water mark that we reported for the June quarter, which was about 398 crores of EBITDA from India. We are still at below 300 this for the second quarter running. Whereas one of our leading peers in India has actually reported more or less stable numbers for the last three quarters. So if you could please just shed some light on what might be happening there.
I think as far as we are concerned, I think most of our input cost, basically if you talk about coal, coke or limestone, in quarter one there would have been inventory of the previous year purchases, which would have been and fresh inventory would have come in the current Q2 and Q3. We don't see any major shift in the cost structure, which is remaining more or less stable. So I don't want to comment about somebody else. I can only say that we are operating at optimum level at the current kind of operations. And if at all going forward in the next fiscal year, some of these costs will ease because we are seeing signs of that happening. That's all I could say.
Okay, so just to understand, should we take this quarter's run rate as a normal number for the India business, or should we expect to sort of trend back towards the June quarter numbers gradually?
So I cannot say beyond the point that as a cost input costs come down, it would go back to probably the June. But I think that is a process which will happen. You can monitor the coal prices as much as I can monitor.
Understood. Got it. And the only other thing I just wanted to check about was, while you did mention that we will be able to provide some flavor on the U.S. contract renegotiations only by end of this quarter, the news reports out there do seem to indicate that the kind of price increases that have been witnessed in the U.S. domestic market are at all-time high levels. Any color you could provide there, at least qualitatively, in terms of whether it's been a satisfactory contract renegotiation season for yourself and the industry. Thank you.
Zarir, you want to comment on?
Yeah, I think broadly your comment is accurate. All new contracts that were entered into, or well, in our case, all have been entered into, are at significantly higher prices.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Vivek, your line has been unmuted. We do not have Vivek in the queue anymore. We'll move to the next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on Kenya performance. So if you look at QOQ performance, the EBITDA is down by about 10 crores, but the PAT is down by almost 45 crores. So any particular reason? And you also alluded to the fact that we have repaid the debt, so probably the interest component also must have been lower. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Rohit, in terms of Kenya Q3, we had higher tax provisioning because the year is looking good. And that extra tax provisioning was made in Q3. That's why the PAT was lower than Q2.
Right, got it. And second question is particularly in terms of India demand. So was there any weakness in Indian demand during Q3, particularly because the volumes on a QOQ basis have been flattish? And how are we looking at when we have entered into Q4? Thank you.
So I already clarified, Rohit, number one, that you know, in India, the pigments and dye stuff sector, which takes a bit of soda ash, I think they had export headwinds, and that has been widely reported even in the media. So that has impacted a bit of the demand issue. Also, some imports did come in the intervening period, which I think was a one-off. We don't expect the level of imports with the kind of inventory levels which are in China, so I don't think that's going to continue. So this was a one-off issue, and which has led to a bit of inventory build-up in India, which will sort of smoothen out as we go through the year.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you very much. So if I were to understand the UK performance, they are going from strength to strength. So the question is, how much is this pricing power sustainable, and is it some kind of a structural turnaround we are seeing in UK? And the second thought is, if you can share some numbers in terms of the India consumption for the quarter for the industry in soda ash, and how you see this consumption growing, say, in the next 2 years in India, and if you can put some percentage growth numbers for the global consumption, that will be useful.
Yeah, I think the growth rate broadly, what we are pegging, and I'm going to give you a range, because it's a range between 5.5 to 6.5% is the broad growth rate we are expecting, especially on the back of some of the new lines that are coming on stream. And overall, globally, I think it should be anywhere between 2 to 3% growth rate. That's really the broad number. Because some parts of the world will probably just stagnate, will not grow that much, but other parts like Asia and Africa will continue to grow at a good clip. As far as UK is concerned, just to give a color on what kind of contracting has been entered, we have entered for next year what is known as fixed margin contracts. So we will have margin which will be protected the next year. This year it was a bit of an open contract which was linked to energy cost. Next year, we have actually pegged it to fixed overall margin. So I think we'll get a better color of that in Q4. And we do expect that UK would perform well. Whether it's going to be this kind of number, I don't want to comment on that. But it's going to perform at a steady rate next year.
So if you talk about UK fixed margin, is it going to be on a per ton basis, or is it going to be on a percentage basis?
Sorry, it is on per ton basis, please, not on percentage. It is not that if gas prices go two times, you'll get also benefit of certain percentage of the two. It is on whatever the pricing of gas is, on top of that, we'll get certain number.
For soda ash and
bicarb.
Yeah, and in the second quarter, there was some mention of some one-off in UK, and you said you will come back. So is it possible to share what was the one-off? Because just to understand the UK performance, at the EBITDA level, is it something which is the normalized EBITDA for second and third quarter, or is there any one-offs? We'll be glad to understand that.
I think you should wait for Q4. Everything will become clear how that normalizes out. Yeah. I don't want to give any forward-looking statement. I've made this point that it's going to be fixed margin and it is going to be profitable. Beyond that, I don't want to make a point.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. Just wanted to get a bit more sense about post the ANZAC exit, how we are looking at the exports from US. So would it also change the mix that we have currently from that geography? And second, how to look at the logistic costs over there?
In terms of our contracts, they are more or less next year done, even for exports. So we are fully contracted out. As far as logistics is concerned, I think that we have entered into an arrangement with ANZAC. They will still handle the logistics, but they are not going to handle customer contracts. That is the understanding.
So these contracts are largely fixed price contracts?
In US, they are fixed price contract. There are no, it's not a 1 year fixed price contract and calendar year.
Yeah, and that is what you are alluding that should start reflecting from 4Q onwards.
Yes, and also in UK it is calendar year, so fixed margin that will also be visible in Q4.
Yeah, so could you share a bit more light on the geography mix from that US exports? Is it more towards which?
Yeah, it is going to remain more or less stable. If you take a broad brush, I think, of the export volume, which is close to about 45% or so of the volume, I think 50% of that would go to LATAM, 50% to Asia
Pacific. Sure, sir. That is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I just wanted to look at soda ash industry as a whole. Since we're not having any global capacity coming up in the next 2 to 3 years, everything is coming in 2027 in a major way, apart from our whatever increment we are getting. What kind of realization jump do you see coming forward because of this?
I will request the response.
They are right in what you're saying, Ria. I think we also aren't seeing any substantial new capacity coming up, at least till the 2026-27 time frame. In between, you will see some capacity come up, but those will be primarily de-bottlenecks. There is talk of some natural soda ash capacity coming up in China, but that number has been swinging quite wildly over these last few years. Something will come up. The volume and the time frame is not very certain. So yes, as Mukund mentioned, we are going to see continued, if not complete tightness in the market will continue to remain balanced. A lot of that has flown into pricing in towards the latter half of last year and as we go into this year, and we expect that kind of firmness to continue. You might see some flavors in various geographies, but we do believe that the trend is going to be positive.
Okay. And since China reopening and we are hearing of, you know, their manufacturing PMI increasing to 50.1, do you see that there we might have some export opportunities out there, or at least the dumping would reduce to an extent and the domestic dynamics would get better and we can have whatever price cuts we had taken for soda ash in domestic arena, we can just recoup that? Do we see such a phenomena happening anytime soon?
So very likely, as Mukund also mentioned, that the reopening of China with the new solar glass plants coming up there with a slight relaxation on regulations on the real estate sector there, we are going to see or are expecting to see a rebound in Chinese demand. Obviously, that is going to have an impact on whatever they had exported or had available for export during the zero COVID time frame. It might open up possibilities again for Chinese importing soda ash, whether those will come out of Turkey or North America or not, I wouldn't take a guess right now. And obviously that will ease off also on Chinese import pressure that existed for maybe 2 or 3 months into the Indian market. I think that will ease off as well.
Yeah, just to add, I think you would recall last year we had exported from Kenya into China for the first time. So it may be possible it will move in the direction. So let me just give, again, go back to this point. China reopening is an item, it's an issue to watch. Second issue to watch is that Europe has fared much better than what we anticipated. So I think what we are missing also in this is that while Europe did go through a bit of a difficult period, I think Europe has fared better. So the pressure which has come on the dye stuff and the pigment segment which I spoke about in terms of exports to Europe, I think that may also be easing off because of how they performed. Their gas storages are good. In fact, the gas prices in UK and Europe have almost come back to the normalized number, well below the peaks we've seen. So a peak of £7, it has come down to £1.5 already per term. So that's been a bit of a, it's come one more than one-fourth the figure which we saw at the peak. So that explains the broad trend in the world. I can't predict economy, and most economists also would not dare to predict economy. There is still talk of recession, but we are not seeing that in our business. That is all I can say.
And just sorry, Mukund, I'm glad you mentioned this. EU just yesterday released their container glass sales figures for last year, and it's at a record high. It's the highest it's ever been in a year that, you know, the R word was being used and is still being used. So that's another indicator.
Thank you. The next question. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to all the participants, please enter star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Sukhia from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. This is Chintan Modi from Haitong Securities. Two questions. One is, despite having such a great year in terms of demand and also in terms of profitability, if you look at our volumes have for 9 months have degrown by almost 3%. And I understand the Q2 phenomena, I mean the one-off that we had. But even if that was a normalized quarter, I don't think we would have seen a big growth in the volumes. So that was one. And secondly, despite having such good profits, our ROCs are just inching closer to 10%. So would like to know, how does the management think about this, and how do you plan your future capital allocations in the long run?
So I think, well, firstly, on the volume piece, just to assure you, we are operating at full utilization almost. We are producing whatever we can. So unless we expand, I don't expect the volumes to go up substantially. And of course, the Q2 where we had extended shutdown, I think that has played a part in this. I think that's where we stand. As capacities come on stream, that's only when you see the volume uptick happen. So, and that should come in phases as we move forward during the course of the next financial year, broadly. In terms of capital employed, we are fairly clear in terms of putting our capital to the businesses which yield return, and we are using them judiciously. But in terms of ROC, I think there's a fair degree of the investment book which we have, which also partly is attributable to this whole process. But other than that, I think as a business, we are very clear that our return ratios are at a premium to our weighted average cost of capital. Ideally, getting close to, I think, anywhere between 15 to 20% broadly.
Yeah, and in terms of investment book, any plans to, monetize some of the investments?
I will only say no comments, and our past history shows that as and when there is in a phased manner, it has been happening over a period of time, but that certainly is the board's decision. That's about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranita from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, this is Vivek from Morgan Stanley. Sorry, sir, I dropped off the call before. Apologies for that. And I'm sorry if you may have touched upon this question earlier. But if you could just give some sense on the demand trends that you're seeing in different geographies. I know you mentioned that you've all your capacities are booked or for 2023, but if you could give some color in terms of the demand trends that you're seeing from your bigger end segments, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
So on overall, the demand is firm. I can only say that. And demand-supply situation is balanced with tending towards a tightness, a bias towards tightness, especially because China has reopened, their inventories are running low. I think we are continuing to see a very positive bias right across. And I also mentioned that India did see a temporary blip with respect to one or two segments like dyes and pigments and also some one-off imports coming in Q3, but that is not reflective of the growth trend in this market, which is close to about anywhere between 5.5 to 6.5% growth rate, which we are going to expect, especially on the back of new capacities of glass lines coming on stream. China also is going to grow with at least 5-6 more glass lines coming on stream, and Zarir already alluded to record container glass production in Europe, and we are mainly selling in UK to container glass, no other segment. And lastly, LATAM continues to make steady progress in terms of their sectors too. So really, if you say where is LATAM growth going to come from and where is the Australian growth going to come from, it is going to be mostly from lithium carbonate and lithium businesses. The rest of the world is seeing a very strong pull coming from the solar glass business. And the other segments are actually holding steady and growing further. So all I can say is the world GDP is going to grow. I think soda ash will be needed and bicarbonate will be needed. All the chemicals we make will be needed.
Thank you, sir. And just a second question on UK and Kenya. Again, very strong numbers there. You had highlighted in the past that you could see some normalization in margins. Any color in terms of how you see this trending maybe in the next couple of quarters? I know you said that, you know, operations and demand are still very, very strong there. But if you still maintain a bit of normalization might happen, any color on how that could trend over the next couple of quarters would be really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, I think quarter four, without saying anything, in UK, as I mentioned, we're going to fix margin and you will get a color of that when we give the results for the quarter four. And it is the Q1 of the calendar year, the first of the contract which is shifted. And so it will be profitable operation, but it'll normalize, as you use the right word, but I can't go beyond that. In Kenya, certainly the revenue side is not going to see any major change because the prices are holding in all markets. So I don't see that as an issue. But I think the fresh hedges of oil which we are taking, HFO which we are taking, are all coming at the current trended oil HFO prices. So there is going to be a bit of a normalization there also. So I'll leave it there.
The next question is from the line of Akul Brochwala from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just a follow-up on UK again. So for the 9 months, we've reported 390 crores of EBITDA. So could you quantify the benefit that we are kind of, you know, getting from carbon capture unit?
We don't have the figure readily. I think we'll keep that ready for next meeting, and we'll be able to give you some color on that. Sorry for that.
Sure. But overall, like, you know, there was this news article stating that you've also entered into a contract with a European manufacturer for, you know, further probably sourcing of low carbon. So what's the sense out there? I mean, are you looking at this very closely in terms of, you know, yielding further benefits?
It's a heads of term agreement for, it's an MOU and it's an early phase. I think UK government is very keen on green and hydrogen economy, so we are fully supportive and we will work closely, but it's in a phase of early understanding. What I mean to say by that is that for the vertex to sort of go ahead with their investments, they need customer arrangements and also arrangements from government in terms of support to hydrogen, which is what they are securing as of now. As it sort of gets more mature, you should look at it. But for next two years or so, I don't think you need to bother about this agreement. It's only much beyond that this agreement will come into play.
Understood. Secondly, specifically for North America, like, you know, many of these large manufacturers have either, you know, revived their capacity or announced new capacity. So are we also looking at that opportunity in near term or maybe, you know, few years down the line for adding fresh capacities?
Yeah, I think we've already announced that we will be moving from 2.8 to 3.2 million ton. I think that's already on in the works. And in India, we are going to a million. And there is also 1.3 million expansion happening in India. So I think these are part of the expansion processes as a, on our journey to double our overall, nearly double our overall capacity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhikanta Kare from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for providing the opportunity, sir. Sir, I remember from your commentary that you mentioned that you have signed...
Sorry to interrupt. Madhikanta, we are not able to hear you clearly. Please speak through the handset.
Yes, I'm on handset only. How long now?
It's still the same.
Go ahead, Madhikanta. Please go ahead.
We
try to.
Yeah. Okay. So, sir, you mentioned earlier that your capacities have been fully booked for this calendar year. Just wanted to understand, would there be typically any take or pay percentage clause in this quarterly or annual contract that you sign? That's my first question.
No. No. Take or pay doesn't work.
Okay. So it's 100%. Off-take has to be done with it. Okay. And the second question is, as you pointed out and as we have been tracking, gas prices in US and UK have fallen significantly in Q3 also. But I see costs going up sequentially in US and UK for us. Is it because of the hedges that we have in place and as a result of which we are not seeing the benefit yet? And if that is the case, which quarter we expect to see the current low gas prices,
you know, from the beginning. I think it's the reverse. We've already seen the benefit of hedges we placed. As these hedges unwind, it will go to realistic figures of current gas prices, which have tended down. So I think what has really happened to us is because of the hedges, we were not affected by peak gas prices, and they are all normal. And I think we've sailed through that entire process through input costs almost remaining steady.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arjun Khanna from Kotak Mahindra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Sir, I just wanted some color on a specialty piece. We understand what's with Rallis. It's a separately listed entity. If you could just give us flavor, how does one understand the seasonality in this? Because we see profitability change substantially quarter to quarter. And secondly, if you could... You mentioned in the opening remarks a certain losses in Tata Industries. So could you bring out that number? What was that loss per se? And how do you see our Morocco JV pan out given that phosphate asset prices are on the way down? Thank you.
I'll talk about second part first, money in terms of the thing. So we have this JV loss, 91 crores in the quarter, that consists of three or four JVs. And we don't really give a breakup of that in terms of which JV has made how much losses. But it is it consists of the, one is the Morocco, where the phosphate asset prices have come down in Q3 compared to Q2. In fact, they made a profit in Q2 and a small loss in Q3. And in the case of Tata Industry, one is the normal, two is the one-off loss they had in the quarter in industries, and we got our share of 9% we hold in the company here. And that we don't expect that to repeat going forward. So it's more like a one-off only for the quarter on account of a business sold by them to outside industries.
Going back to the Moroccan phosphoric acid entity, firstly, I think while DAP prices and phosphoric acid prices are coming down, the issue is going to be that also reflects back into the rock phosphate prices. So while there could be some course correction period where price fall, but the rock phosphate price may, the rock phosphate may be coming in through some internal past purchases, as those stocks sort of get consumed, it will also normalize. So generally, these have tended to move in the same direction, so with some margin expansion in the periods of tightness. So DAP, phosphoric acid and rock phosphate move almost in the same direction. So, and there's a margin which you earn, and the margin expands if there is a tightness in the market. As far as our view of phosphate is concerned, it also remains as a key resource, and we do believe that world will continue to see phosphate consumption on a growing pattern as food production gathers even more momentum in terms of access to high quality fertilizer. And also
in terms of the same topic, Arjun, I think look at Morocco, we had very huge profits last year, and now it's again now getting more normalized as per the past trend. So now what is being seen is the right numbers in terms of the profits.
Sure. Just to understand that, when you say right numbers in terms of losses, or do you see this move back to historical?
I think so. If you look at the historical numbers of the profit in Morocco last many years, we make about 200-300 crores passive profit every year as a company. We get one third of that. That's a past trend. Last year was an abnormal year in terms of the pricing shot up and made a big gain. Otherwise, 200-300 crores is what they make generally year on year in Morocco. We get one third of that in our books here.
Perfect. Oh, well understood, sir. And the first question, sir?
Rallis, the seasonality is like this. I think their best quarter tends to be Q2 and
Seasonality is understood, sir. Just speaking ex Rallis, is there seasonality to the business?
No, there is no seasonality. There is no seasonality in the other business. During monsoon, some offtake may reduce, which is because some of the industries may be having lower production during monsoon, but otherwise, there is no seasonality. Our tire line in silica is fully booked, 100% utilization. Our food line in silica is about 75% utilization. That goes mainly into toothpaste and battery separator markets. And the tire line goes to the tire manufacturer and rubber manufacturers. As far as our phosphoric acid is prebiotic, the fermentation platform is concerned, there the utilization is about 68% or 70% broadly. I think as the utilization moves up, these will move towards positive. The GC margin in this business tends to vary between 25% in fermentation and 13%. So I think those percentages will keep improving as utilization improves. So we have to get more customer orders and increase our sales of these products. That's what we are putting effort on. But there is a broad acceptance of these products. The customer base is good, but I think we have to continue to serve them to get the utilization.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so on the India specialty, is it possible to give a timeline in terms of when we can see a positive exit in your standalone reporting?
Yeah, in standard reporting, in terms of positive EBIT, I can only say that we have to scale this beyond their current pilot scale. So, as I mentioned to you, the board has cleared 50,000 ton silica expansion. I think that will take time to come on stream. So, I think at least 24 months to execute that project. We've just finished the acquisition of land and the groundbreaking in Cuddalore. So, till that time, these are pilot plants, as I mentioned. I think these were to get customer acceptance.
Okay. Just going back to your second quarter call, there was some mention of some one-off items in the U.K. P&L. Is it possible to share that? And are we to understand that the U.K. performance in third quarter is without any one-off item?
There is no one-off in third quarter.
No.
In terms of U.K.
U.K., the U.K. is a normal operation in third quarter, and the fourth quarter we will be switching to fixed margin for the next calendar year.
No, I'm referring to what you mentioned in the second quarter call. There was a reported one-time item in the U.K. P&L for second quarter. We are supposed to come back on that. So if you can give us some clarity on that, it will be useful.
There was some land sold in U.K., which was a small gain booked in Q2, Ramesh. Apart from that, there's no other one-off in Q2, and Q3 is without any one-offs in the U.K.
Okay, thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you, Ramesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. Sir, could you please explain the reason for the increase in power and fuel costs on a Q-on-Q basis from 700, I'm talking about the consolidated, and the freight and forwarding charges? Your thought process on. I'm talking about the power and fuel costs of 901.
See, that, if you look at the whole thing, see, we got power and fuel has got two components. One is in terms of your consumption of coal and in India and gas in U.K. and U.S., and also U.S. consumes coal. So broadly, the quarter-on-quarter, the gas prices, you know, have gone up. It's come down now. So that reflects the increase in the gas prices across geographies, mainly in U.S. and U.K. It went up sharply in Q3. Now it's come down, it's come down to less than 1.5 pounds a therm in U.K., as compared to about 4 or 5 pounds in Q3.
So there is a pass on in the realization also, so there, it did not have a dent on the margin. This should be understood.
Correct. Correct, correct. So whatever you're seeing as increase in the power and fuel and freight has been, as is coming in the top line.
Okay. Sir, as you mentioned, that China is having the historically low inventory, but and for India domestically, we are having some inventory. So, was it that this inventory being from the Chinese only before their reopening? And if you refer to the Chinese prices, sir, just referring to their website, the Chinese prices have moved up more than 110 RMB over a period of last 1 month. So, does those prices have any relevancy on how the market is shaping up? Would you like to throw some share some thought on the same, sir?
In terms of India inventory, I think, broadly, most companies are, would hold between 12 days of inventory. That has probably gone to 20 days of inventory. It's not a big number, so I just wanted to leave it there. And the Chinese domestic prices moving up and down, I think, that's a separate phenomenon. But all I would say is that the international prices are currently steady and holding.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, my first question is on U.K. So if I refer to your presentation, the sales volume for soda ash has declined on a quarter-on-quarter basis from about 69 to 63. So what would be the driver for it?
It's just the timing. So it's a very minor decline. It's just timing issue, nothing major.
Okay, and even on a year-on-year basis, it has been a decline. So, any reason for the continuous decline like?
No, I think we are fully servicing all the orders. I think that's what we are doing. We may have cut out some of the low-yielding tail, which was going to some customers, but I think they are running the business to maximize bottom line.
Sure, sir. And last question on the India business. So in November, we actually took a price reduction in light and dense soda ash. So how is the situation like in India in terms of prices and pricing?
I think that again was a bit of a seasonal move which was made, and I think also reflective of some input cost reduction which we were seeing coming in. But in terms of, if you ask me, as the inventory situation eases, which is what we are expecting in the next 2 months, I think the prices should again be on a firmer footing.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for my question. Just a few things. I mean, one is, as you mentioned, that this pigment and dye stuff industry has facing some headwinds because of which we lost some bit of demand. So just wanted to understand what kind of percentage, if at all, could you mention that this industry is consuming as soda ash?
4 to 5% overall demand.
Okay. And secondly, on the power sourcing, just wanted to understand that whether we, I mean, how we are looking to go ahead with the green energy kind of thing, or are we looking to reduce some power cost with the sourcing for renewable powers?
Yeah, I think we have four different units which are on a different trajectory. UK already is 100% on gas, and I think the next step for them would be to explore hydrogen because they are on the cleanest fuel in terms of carbon intensity already. And Magadi, it will move from HFO to mostly solar for their energy requirement. And US would move, they are 25% on gas, 70% on coal. They would also switch to gas over a period of time, and that is the trajectory they will take. India is going to have a combination. India will move a combination of 100% coal to renewable solar as well as to biomass as two fuel switch options which we will be doing over a period of time.
Okay. So any timeline, I mean, in this?
Our teams are working to reducing 30%, which means wherever it's 100%, we'll go down to 70% carbon intensity, which means the coal usage should come down to 70% of the current level.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Overall, I just wanted to close by saying that we are continuing to see a steady demand-supply situation. Next year looks to be in a good steady wicket with the reopening of China as well as better than expected European performance, especially with respect to their gas storage and their ability to manage through this difficult cost situation which they were facing. With this, we are confident that our trajectory which we had laid out for our business is on the right path. In addition to that, just adding a further point to the last question, we are also augmenting our efforts both in the area of sustainability and green, going green, and adding a digital layer to our operations, and we will continue to report progress of all these efforts quarter on quarter. Thank you all, and have a excellent quarter going ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.